Now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland. I'm a pastor. The program, Talk to a Pastor. I think you're going to like this program. Yes, I think you're going to like this program. We're going to talk about mental health issues, how not to overreact to pressures, and we're going to talk about relationships. Let's begin with how not to react to pressure. My name is Roland. I'm a pastor. I've been on the radio for 23 years. I've written 14 books, and I have a brand new book, which is ready to come out, called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Putting the Forever Back in Love. We'll talk about that later. You're going to like it. It's about relationships. But let's begin by talking about pressure. What do we all do? What do we do when we come under pressure? Why, we capitulate to the pressure and then we hide and sleep. That's exactly what we do. We capitulate and then we hide and sleep. Or we hide in the imagination. We escape from reality and hide in the imagination. Now, some of you already recognize that what I'm talking about is hypnosis. That's what I'm talking about. On a stage, a person will do something foolish. A person will be put into hypnotic trance and then given directions, and the person will carry them out. And then afterwards, when the person is awakened, the hypnotist will ask the person, well, why did you do that thing? And the person will make up excuses as about why he did it. But it wasn't really his idea. It was a hypnotist's idea. Well, it's the same thing in life. Have you ever made an excuse? Have you ever made an excuse? Well, then, why would you have to make an excuse if it was really your idea? You see what I mean? Chances are it was somebody else's idea. You absorbed it by osmosis from the culture, from your peer group, from other people. Or you were in a mild hypnotic trance and somebody told you and you believed it and you did it. See? Now you see how belief becomes a factor too. Belief becomes a factor. Most of us go through life sleepwalking, doing what other people say and do, and what they tell us to do, and what we think. But we think what we do is our idea. If you look at people, you see how they dress alike and talk alike and act alike, and they, you know, all that sort of thing. And people from a certain culture, they have the same kind of mannerisms and they eat the same kind of food and they talk in a way. And someone from a certain area or a certain gang or a certain group on the high school campus, you see how they all dress alike, talk alike, think alike. They don't realize. They think they're independent because they're rebelling probably against their parents. See, a lot of times we rebel against somebody else. We rebel against someone, and so we think that in our rebellion, our independent and original. But the truth is, we're just conforming to some other group, which now has the hypnotic power to lead us. You see what I mean? So what do? We succumb to pressure. But now here's the thing. Once the process begins, and it begins when we're little kids, when we're pressured, when somebody's mean to us or cruel to us or bossy, see, or they threaten us or scare us, and then we start to go into a trance, when we become emotional, when we become angry and upset or resentful. We go into a trance. And then we are directed, and we start to behave as we are directed by our parents, by our peer group, by our friends, by our teachers, and so on. But then once the trance starts, we kind of are in a mild trance for our whole life. But once in a while, we start to come out of our trance, and when we do, we see that our life is a mess, and what do? We go back into this to hide. That's one of the things Jesus came to save us from. I'll be right back. Most of us react emotionally to pressure. It's not so much the pressure that hurts us, but our emotional reaction. If you would like to learn the secret of remaining calm in the face of pressure, listen to a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at www.commonsensecounseling.org. While you're there, listen to my latest lecture on relationships. It's all in the free download section. That's commonsensecounseling.org. My name is Roland. I'm a pastor. You're listening to Talk to a Pastor. Incidentally, if you want to visit my website, all you have to do is go to talktoapastor.org. Talktoapastor.org. And you will be able to, see all the wonderful things that I have. The books and the articles and the blog posts and the meditations and everything. So, I began to say that we capitulate to pressure. So that's what we do. Just think what happens to you, for example, when somebody upsets you. Somebody cuts in front of you out on the freeway, or the line is moving slow. You're at the grocery store and you're in a hurry and the line is moving slow. Or you're at Starbucks and somebody in front of you is ordering this and that and that and this, and they're paying with this and they want to reload their card and they want to do all these things, and you become upset. See? Or you come home and your wife nags you, or you come home and your husband says something, or you come home and your kids don't do what you ask them to do and so forth. And what do? You become upset. You become emotionally upset. And then what happens is, when we are emotionally upset, we become programmable. It's that simple. You don't realize it, but you are. Then in your upset state, you do things that you later regret. You say things that you regret. You might even do something very foolish. See, or dumb, or you get in and you become angry and upset, and then you bump your toe on something, you see. You become angry and upset and you drop and break something. You become angry and upset and then you say something. You yell at your kids, say something mean. See how that works? Okay. Now, the other part of becoming upset is not so much upset, but emotionally excited. You go to a ball game and you scream. You watch the Raiders play football. You watch the San Francisco 49ers play, or the basketball team play. You become all excited. You go to your wrestling match or your MMA match or your boxing match. See, you become all excited. See, or you get together with your friends and then they have this to tell you and that to tell you and this gossip and that gossip, and you sit around and you get all excited to hear what they have to say about what she did and what happened to her and her boyfriend stepped out on her and blah, 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 and you listen to all that and you get excited by it. You don't even realize that you're excited, but you are. See? And then what happens? You get all caught up and you do the wrong thing, you say the wrong thing. What happens when you go out to eat? You go out to eat, you get all caught up in the ambiance there, and then you forget about reason. You forget about moderation. You eat too much. See? Why is it that you eat too much? See? You become emotional and you fall into a trance. Or you become all upset at work and then you come home and you eat too much. See how that works? All right. So now, can you see that getting upset is not good for you? It's not good for you because you become programmable and you do and say things that you later wish you hadn't. You do foolish things and you wish you hadn't. See? Or you go to buy a car, you get all excited, the car's all shiny and nice and beautiful, and you imagine yourself, being everybody admiring you and so on, and then you spend too much money for it. Or you go to the store, you get all up in the ambiance at the store and the sights and smells and everything, you go into a little bit of a trance, and before you know it, you come home and you bought clothes that you didn't even need. And you wonder, why did I spend that money for? Or you meet somebody and you go out with them, and then the morning after, the night before, you wake up and say, oh my God, oh my God. See? Well, so there you have it. So now what you need to learn how to do is to be in control, is to not be emotional, to not get upset in the first place, to not get excited in the first place, to be more calm, more impassive. See? Because it's not really necessary to build up a head of steam or to become emotional to do things. You can do things very well without being emotional. In fact, you do them better without emotion. When you're at your work, when you see the plumber working, or the sculptor working, or the mathematician working, or the surgeon working, the lawyer working, accountant working. See, they work better when they're not upset. They do a better job. They don't have to get upset to do their work. Your mechanic doesn't have to get upset to fix your car. See, and you, and same with you when you're at work. Sometimes you're, most of us are very efficient when we're at work. We're very efficient. We don't become angry and upset. At least we shouldn't. It'll interfere with your work. But what happens when you come home? When you come home, you forget all about how to work. You get angry at your wife. You get irritated at your wife. You get angry at your husband. You get angry at your kids. You get angry at your mother-in-law. See? And then you do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing under like a spell, a trance. And then later, you wish you hadn't said it. When you start to wake up, see, when you start to wake up from your trance, then what do? Then you rationalize. You justify what you did or rationalize it. You make excuses for what you did, which proves that you weren't really in control of what you were doing. Or when you do really dumb things, really foolish things, or say something really dumb, and you can't rationalize it, you can't excuse it, see? It's so obviously wrong and dumb. Then the only thing left is to escape back into the hypnotic trance. And that's why you drink, you smoke, you puff on marijuana, you listen to music, you watch TV, you go to Facebook, you get together with your friends, all, see, to whisk you away from reality and back into an emotional semi-dream state of involvement. See how that works? Okay, well, that's not good. A life led that way. See, you can, in that state of mind, in the hypnotic state and coming out and rejecting reality and going back into the hypnotic state and being emotional and so on, you cannot. See, you cannot find God in that state. See, you find God in the objective state. You find God when you're not emotional, when you're not involved in things, when you're not hypnotized. See, when you're hypnotized and emotional, you're under outside control. Even if you're in church and you're all emotional and you're singing and chanting and quoting Bible verses and doing all that kind of stuff, see? Well, you know, it's a nice lifestyle. Don't get me wrong, it's a nice lifestyle. It's better than being in a gang or a drug addict or something. But it's still emotional. It's still hypnotic. See? You're still in a trance. You're still under outside control. Somebody else. See? And you, people get into their imagination. They have an imaginary relationship with Jesus, like a little kid. They have, see, except now they're an adult. But it's not the real thing. What is the real thing? The real thing, see, you find God when you're not lost in thought. You find God when you're not all emotional. You find God when you're not hypnotized. Finding God means coming under His control. Instead of being hypnotized by the world, instead of being controlled by your music and your words and your friends and what's going on out there. Instead, see, you come under His control. See how that works? All right. So there's a there are many, many, many very good reasons. One of them being finding salvation. There are many good reasons for learning not to become upset and coming out of hypnosis, coming out of your trance state and not being upset anymore. And that's why I have the meditations. They're Christian meditations. I shall be right back. Hello, everyone. Many people have emotional and mental health issues. Many people have been diagnosed with adult ADD, bipolar disorder, social anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, depression. Many Christians would like to hear something positive and practical from someone who successfully overcame such issues. I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Mike. He wrote a book called Mike's Story. Mike got unstuck, conquered his issues, and left them behind. Mike wrote to me about his successes, and I was so excited and moved by his story that I helped him put it into a book. It's called Mike's Story. I'd like you to preview the book and perhaps even obtain a copy of Mike's Story in paperback, Kindle, or Barnes & Noble Nookbook. If you'd like to preview Mike's story, go to talktoapastor.org. That's www.talktoapastor.org and look for Mike's story. Well, hello everybody. My name is Roland. I hope you're enjoying today's program. I'm a pastor. The program is called Talk to a Pastor. Yes, indeed. Little announcement. I talked about Mike Storr. It's an excellent book. You really should get it. He had a lot of issues. He had bipolar. He had depression. He had obsessions and compulsions. And yes, he made a lot of mistakes in his life, just like we all do. He made a lot of mistakes, especially when he was in his teens and his 20s and his 30s. He made a lot of mistakes. But guess what? He overcame all of his mental health issues. He overcame them all. And now he's happy and healthy and productive. He's left it all behind. Mike, I think you'll enjoy that book. You really ought to check it out. It's on Amazon, you know. You can actually look inside at Amazon. All you have to do is go to talktoapastor.org. You'll see the links to Mike's story. Yes, we were talking about numbing upset, not becoming emotional, not going into a semi-trance state, not becoming hypnotized. And then I said, when we're not hypnotized, when we're not emotional, when we're not in a trance, see, when we're calm, then in that state, we can find God. Well, you know, down through, and that's what the meditations that I have are for. They're very simple. These meditations are so simple. There's nothing weird about them or far out. They're very simple. All they do is teach you how to become still, how to stand back from thought. See, what happens is, look, the next time you get upset, just notice what happens. Notice how you get lost in thought. Your mind starts racing. You start reliving the thing that upset you over and over again, right? Why did he say this? Why did she say that? You keep reliving it over and over again, trying to change the past, trying to plan the future, see? Lost in a squirrel cage of thinking. So that's what happens. You get sucked into it. See? And then when you're lost in thinking, then you make another mistake. For example, we're all, I'll just give you a little example here, it's not about religion or anything, but it's a good example, because we all understand this. When people are driving, there's something called distracted driving, which is not good. Distracted driving is bad. Distracted driving is when people are, you know, on the cell phone, or they're you know, changing the CD in their CD changer, or they're fiddling with the radio dial, or they're talking to their kids, or they're reaching into the back seat to get a bottle of water or something. It's called distracted driving. Okay, it's not good. But did you know that one type of distracted driving is daydreaming? People are driving along and they're lost in daydreaming. Lost in daydreaming. They're not totally there. They're not 100% there. See? And that's not good. And what happens when people are lost in daydreaming? Why is it distracted driving? Why is it dangerous? It's because they can make a mistake, because they're not 100% there. Well, that's the way we live our lives, ladies and gentlemen. We are lost in thought and we make mistakes. Okay? So that's why the meditation helps you to not be lost in thought, to stand back from thought. Hi, this is Roland. Do you have relationship issues? Okay, who doesn't have relationship issues? That's why I want to tell you about my most popular book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Do you and your partner argue all the time? Do you want to understand men and women better? Are you in a relationship and thinking of getting married? Then you will want to preview The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll find out how to relate better with your partner, reduce your stress, and possibly even heal your relationship. Visit www.talktoapastor.org and look for The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll be glad you did. Oh, incidentally, I want to tell you about a special that we have. Donation of any amount, I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email as a token of my appreciation. That's for a donation of any amount. I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email so you can start reading it right away. You're listening to Talk to a Pastor. This is an excellent program. Listen in every week at this same time for this program. It could do you a world of good. Could do you a world of good. Now, I want to take a moment here to talk about relationships, because that's what everybody is interested in. And yes, relationships happens to be some. Relationships is one of the big ways that we become upset. We fall in love and we marry the wrong person. We marry for the wrong reasons. See, we make mistakes. And that happens, and we become resentful and angry at them. You know, you have a boyfriend or husband, then he starts to irritate you and so on and so forth, and you judge him and resent him, and then what happens? And you have a big argument, see, that sort of thing. You go to work and people there irritate you. Your mom irritates you, your dad irritates you, your kids irritate you, your husband irritates you. See how it's relationships, how important they are. So it's, like I've always said, it's very difficult to be a good Christian or a nice spiritual person when you're upset. See, and it's very difficult to be a good Christian. In fact, it's impossible to be a good Christian or a good person or a good spiritual person. See, if you're angry at your kids and resent your husband and hate your wife and hate your neighbor. You see all that? That interferes with it. Totally. Okay. So what are we going to do? Well, you should get my book. You should get my brand new book, which is called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Love is supposed to be forever. We all know that, don't we? But what happens? What happens? We lose our... We forget to renew our love. In fact, we don't even have love in the first place. Most of the time, we're just selfish. We marry someone because of the way we like something because of the way it makes us feel. You know, chocolate cake makes us feel good, so we like chocolate cake. Some person makes us feel good, so we like them, or we love them. But then what happens? Then when they don't make us feel good anymore, you see what I mean? Well, all right, so we've all been selfish, so what else is new? That's the way we are. But we can learn to be unselfish. We can learn to be unselfish. Albert Einstein said that gravity is not to blame for people falling in love. All right, well, people fall in love. Okay, so there you are, you're married. Let's make a success of it, shall we? But you need to learn some basic things. You need to learn some basic things, and that's why you need to get my book, my new book, which is called Putting the Forever Back in Love. And what it is advanced concepts in relationship building. Advanced concepts in relationship building. There's over 100 pages of new material. Then I bring back some important material from previous books that I wrote. And it's all compiled into a book. It's over 250 pages, and it's available now. You can actually get it as a PDF. I can send it to you by email for a small donation. All you have to do is make a small donation of any amount. And then I'll send it using PayPal, and I will send you the book as a PDF attached to an email so you can start reading it right away. You can start reading it right away on your computer, or I guess on your mobile device too. And what are the topics that I talk about? Well, things like my wife cheated on me, now what? My wife cheated on me, now what? Here's another topic in the book. My husband irritates me. Here's another topic. I can't forgive my husband. I have a very important chapter in the book about forgiveness. A lot of people don't know what forgiveness is. They can't forgive. One of the reasons they can't is they have the wrong idea of what forgiveness is. They think it means being nice to a person, having a relationship with a person, and pretending nothing happened. But that's not what forgiveness means. You need to get my book. Then I have some chapters on parents and kids. What causes Christian... Why do Christians get divorced? I have a chapter on that. Why do Christians get divorced? What's the reason for divorce? The number one reason for divorce. It's an excellent book. You really ought to get it. Putting the Forever Back in Love. Now, I want to finish up the little bit that we had, which I was talking about the meditation, so we can learn not to be upset, not to be emotional, not to be hypnotized. See, where we can stand back from thought. And then standing back, we can be calm and reasonable and composed. I wrote a book. I have a very nice book. It's called A Guide to True Peace Revisited. I actually republished some 16th century writings, French mystical writers' writings. And I say there is a way of living and moving and having our being that is happy and carefree, and through which we can find the love to solve our problems and prevent new ones. That's what we need. Ladies and gentlemen, I shall be right back after this announcement. Hi, this is Pastor Roland. I get a lot of emails, but it's always a special treat to go to my mailbox and find a card or letter from a listener. I love letters from listeners, so I want to make sure you have my address so you can write to me. So here it is. Send your cards and letters to Roland Trujillo. I'll spell it for you. That's R-O-L-A-N-D-T-R-U-J-I-L-L-O. Post Office Box 854, Berkeley, California, 94701. Here it is again, Roland Trujillo, Post Office Box 854, Berkeley, California, 94701. I look forward to reading your letter. Yes, yes, send me a letter. I love getting letters. I just love getting letters. Please, please do so. Well, I've given you a lot of good information on this program. You can listen to it again in the archives or visit talktoapastor.org or commonsensecounseling.org and find out about the resources that I have, the wonderful self-help resources. Please listen in again next week. So until then, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.